and then, you know, doing whatever. Okay, I remember in South Carolina, my brother came down to visit. I think he was married. If he wasn't, he was engaged, but she came. Okay, and they came to visit us in South Carolina. And I said, you know, you need a good Southern experience, okay? So tonight, I'm taking you to Tabernacle Baptist Church. You need to go to Tabernacle Baptist Church, okay? And just once in your life, you need to go to a Southern church. And we used to call Tabernacle Baptist Church Happy Tab. Anybody with me on this? Happy Tab, okay? And I can remember, okay, Pastor Seitler got up, okay, and he started preaching. And next thing I know, the guy beside my brother down there, he just stood up on the pew, took his sport coat off, and started twirling around his head. And he was saying, praise God, praise God. And I looked at my brother, and he was just like, what is going on in this church? Okay? But these people got really happy. When Brother Seitler started preaching, and they started thinking about their salvation, and where they've come from, and where God's taken them, they got really happy. Now, you might say it was all a show. No, we didn't live that far from the church. And you know what? They were knocking on my door a good bit. Or they'd see me out in the street, and they'd come up and say, hey, you know, we're from Tabernacle Baptist, we're concerned about your soul. They were out there trying to win people to the Lord. So it wasn't just a show, folks. These people were happy to be Christians, and they tried to, and I mean, they had an orphanage, a school, a college. What else did they have there? Pretty big place, was it not? So when I say the shouting ground, hey, Brad, if you want to stand up on the pew and throw your coat around, I mean, you know, did you ever go to Happy Tab when you were down there? You never... Oh, was it band till then? They got a little too happy when you were down there? Okay. But again, maybe we can get a little excited, okay? I know I'm from I was raised in a Presbyterian church, you know, when I finally went to church, you know, and I tell somebody that a man in our church twice said amen while the pastor was preaching, and we just labeled him Amen John. You know, why did you call him Amen John? Because in 20 years he said amen twice. He's Amen John, you know. Because you can understand, you know, a solemn church, you know. And I think he even put the word true in front of it. True amen, he said. True amen. Twice he said true amen. And we were like, whoa. Okay. Got a little excited there, did you? Okay. Folks, we need to be happy, Lord. But this is how it goes. Asaph was down. Then all of a sudden, he started realizing when he talked to God. So Asaph's going to have a talk with God is what it is. Hey, God, I want to talk to you. Because I'm seeing that the sinners are singing and the saints are sighing. I see that things just seem to be turned around. And when he finally talked to the Lord, I'm just going to put it this way, he was able to get his eyes off of himself and the problems he faced. Folks, when are the most down times in your life? Not when everything's going well. They get really bad when all of a sudden things aren't going well at all. And then we think, so again, get your eyes off of himself. Bill Neville said it the other day. I don't think Sam's here. Is he here right now? They'll be in a minute. But he said the other day, because we were asking, then he asked something about my grandson. And there's Bill Neville sitting on his back, two drains coming out of his back and everything, because he's got this bad infection in his back. And we were talking a little bit about Reed and, you know, where things are going so he could pray for him. And he said, lying in a hospital bed, flat on his back, Bill said, just about the time you think you've got it worse than anybody, you hear of somebody that you are so glad you're not. You know, and he said, here I am on my back in the hospital, and you know what, I don't have problems. I have an infection in my back. What's that? You know, and I said, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there that I'm praying for that, you know, being in the hospital with an infection in your back's a whole, I don't want to be him, but it's a whole lot easier than what some other people are going through with cancer surgeries and life and death situations. Again, get your eyes off the problems, again, and things that you face. So, again, I'm just going to put it here. Notice what became clear to Asaph when he met with God. All of a sudden, he got the right perspective. He's going to learn, okay? Here are some things that really I need to remember and keep. So again, I've got a couple things here that we want to look at. What became clear to Asaph? And hopefully they become clear in our lives, okay, as we look at it. The first one, it's just nasty. It's just nasty when you look at it. Look at verse 17, please, and look at the end of it. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Again, look at what I've said here, okay? I read the word destruction. I read the word desolation. I read the words utterly consumed. And I read the word terrors. Did you get that? these people that you may get your eyes on that you think are rich and they've got life made and everything's good and their health is good and yours isn't and everything just seems to be going so well for them and they have no regard for God. Again, as we read earlier in chapter 7:3, they even point towards heaven and curse God. They create blasphemy. They say bad things about God and they say God's not does not exist. And if he does, he can't touch me. These people blaspheme and all of that. And then all of a sudden Asaph figured out, I don't want to be them. Somebody tell me now, I didn't use the word yet. If they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, where are they going? They're going to hell. That's a word we don't say much anymore, do we not? Except the world uses it to cuss. If all of a sudden, for some reason, even when we come to church, we don't want to say the word hell. Folks, it is a real place that people are going to. And all of a sudden, he woke up one day and said, you know what? They are going to spend an eternity in hell, separated from God forever. How many of you want to be those people now? I don't. Okay? So as soon as you start thinking, wow, those rich people have everything, or boy, those people over there, they seem to have the good life, and they seem to have more fun than I do. Yeah, get the perspective, folk. How long is it for? Because I do have a word up on the screen that we really need to get a hold of. It's the word what? Forever. Forever. That blows my mind to think about forever. Okay? That blows my mind. Where was it we were talking? Was it here? Sunday school? Somewhere I was talking about, you know, when forever starts to roll around and I'm in heaven or whatever. You know, I'm so glad the universe is really, really big. You know, I preached in a sermon on Isaiah 40. That's where it is. It just came to me. Remember we talked about the universe is like God's hand or whatever, and we talked about millions and trillions of light years. I think I'm going to do some universe traveling. I got the time. You say, Pastor Gilbert, where are you going? Well, I think I'm going to go to that star over there. Well, that's a trillion light years away. I got the time. Did anybody ever think about that? Well, Pastor, it's going to take you a trillion years to get there, and then a trillion to come back. I know. I got the time. Okay? Now, and then you might say what? Well, I'll go with you. All right. Because now I don't know if that's the way it's going to be. I don't know. But are you understanding eternity when you talk about millions and trillions of years in the future? Please don't talk about millions and trillions of years in the past. I don't believe in it when it comes to the length of this earth. Okay. But in the future, folks, forever, we're with the Lord. But if people don't accept Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. And they're going to go there absolutely forever. Can we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, please? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, a rough verse, is it not? Talking about people that do not believe on Jesus. It says right there, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Folks, that's what the future of the person who despises God, will not listen to the gospel, will not accept him. That's what they're looking forward to. And folks, in just a few short years, these people will be cast away from God forever. When you look at them on this earth now, don't envy them, pity them so much that you take the gospel to them. Because you don't want them to go through that. You don't want them to go through that. Hard thought, is it not? Folks, I'm not going to move away. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm talking about you. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior before it's too late. In fact, I wouldn't even say before it's too late. Just do it now. He's the answer to your sins. He can wash away your sins. You can have a relationship with him, and he'll take you to heaven. Again, don't put off the greatest decision you need to make, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Again, as we go back to Psalm 73, Asaph also looked at something else. Again, he kind of looked then at kind of the foolishness of himself then. Kind of looked at the foolishness of himself. Notice what he says after he looked at where the sinners are going, those who reject Jesus Christ. Then he kind of says there, thus my heart was grieved. And again, I was pricked in my reins. What he's saying is, you know, my heart hurt. Okay? After going through that time when I was thinking that bad, it just bothered me that I did. Notice verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was like a beast before thee. I guess I could put it this way, you know, he was looking at things through a faulty lens. The other term that I've heard people say, he was doing stinking thinking. Everybody been there? You know, oh God, I'm sorry. Why'd I get to the place where I thought maybe you love sinners more than you love me, or you really don't love me, and you know, you're really not treating me well? Lord, I'm sorry that I thought like that. But again, I just put three things up here, again, that maybe you come up with just answer verses. We don't have to look these verses up. They're good verses. You probably know them. And have you ever thought that God doesn't care about you? Have you ever thought, hey, you ever been so sick, so hurt? You think God doesn't care? Who can quote 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your care upon Him for what? He cares for you. So, again, I always tell people a lot of times the answer to stinking thinking, or when you're looking through the wrong lenses, okay, is you need to get into the mirror of the Word of God, the light of the Word of God, and realize God does care about me. He does care about me. And you know what? He's going to do things for me, and it's going to last forever. It's going to last forever. God does care about me. He really does. Again, what's another thing that we do? Okay, sometimes we think, well, God just doesn't hear me when I pray. Okay, I think we memorized Jeremiah 33:3 a long time ago. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You call, I'm hearing. Okay, there's other verses I could give you, but if you don't think God hears before you ask. Isn't that really good? I tell people, I like that. When Jesus was down here preaching, He answered people's questions before they got to ask them. I thought that was pretty good or whatever. When we were studying the book of Malachi, He was answering people's questions before they asked. Why? Because God hears. He does hear you, okay? Again, so don't think that He doesn't care. Don't think that He doesn't hear, okay? And maybe the last time we might think that, well, is God even here? Is God even here, okay? What's the verse that we had up on the screen when we started the service? I will what? Never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's here, okay? He's here. And I know that from time to time then we ask questions like this. So why am I going through some tough times? Why am I going through things? You know, God knows what we need to build us. He does, okay? God knows what He needs to make us strong or whatever. I've said this before. Hopefully it's true. But I know that, you know, like early on in my life, or well, I could say early on in my marriage, my wife and I, there were certain problems that came across our lives, certain things that crossed our paths, certain things that came our way. And boy, when we faced those things, it was almost like, how are we going to make it through this? How are we going to make it through this? And now, I never know how many years I've been married. I think it's 36, is it not? But now if something like that would cross our paths now, we wouldn't say, how are we going to make it through this? What would we say? This is easy. We can do this. Okay, or Christ and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But see, He's taught us through those things early in our lives how to lean on Him more. And now if those same things would hit us, we would say what? No big problem. We know that this is handled. We serve a big God. And now the problems that hit us now, which are even bigger, if they'd hit us years ago, they probably would have killed us. But now we're more ready to handle things that are coming our way. Is everybody with me on that? So when people say, well, why did God bring things in your lives or whatever? Well, the answer is because He wants to make us strong, okay? I want to share this illustration because I know when you look at me, you wonder, where did I get those big muscles and all that? I know you do, okay? But I was just laughing because the other day I was kind of working out or whatever. My daughter, she was there with me, and she goes, what's this machine? I said, well, this is a pull-up machine. And she's like, okay, now how's it work? And I said, well, for most of us now, we can't do as many pull-ups as we used to do. And she said, well, how many pull-ups can you do? And I said, I would be impressed if I can do 2. And she goes, really? And I said, I used to be able to do 12. I took the presidential physical fitness thing one time, and I did 12 pull-ups, and that's what I had to do. And I said, right now, being older, you lose muscle mass. Is everybody familiar with this? I'd like to be able to do it. So I struggled, and I did 2. I tried the third one. I was having really big trouble. But here's what the pull-up machine does. You get on this ledge, and you put some weights on it. the weights don't hurt you, they help you. So again, if you put like 100 pounds on it, instead of weighing 200 pounds if you do, you will now only weigh 100 pounds. So when you're doing pull-ups, okay, you're now only pulling 100 pounds up, you're not pulling 200. Is everybody with me or whatever? So she said, well, Dad, why don't you see how much weight it takes so you can do 10? And this is a couple days ago, a while ago. And so, you know, basically I guessed or whatever. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what it was, because it was like 190 pounds. No. No, it was more than I weighed, and I just went up anyway, you know. I was weighed. But I put it on or whatever. Okay, now, folks, I'm telling you. I put it on, and I went ahead and did 10. And I mean, I struggled on the 10th one, but I got it. Came back the next day. She goes, back on, Dad. Here we go. And don't you know, I did 10. And I struggled on the 10th one, okay? And I tried to do the 11th one. I couldn't. 2 days later, went back. Same thing. She goes, get on it, Dad. I got on it. I did 12. I did 12. And I was like, okay. Watch this, folks. Bodies respond to trials. Am I right about that? So do souls. Because we are more than just a body. And souls respond to trials. Okay? And you have some trials in your life. It's amazing how God will make you strong. Now, if you say, well, Pastor's trying to think. You know, folks, if you watched me on that machine, you'd be like, oh my, you put that much weight on it? Yeah, to get 10, I had to. Okay? Just so you understand. You know, bodies respond. Souls respond. So when you say, well, why does God bring things in my life? He wants you to be strong. If you just sit on the couch all day, it doesn't happen. And if you sit on the spiritual couch all day, it doesn't happen. So that's sometimes why we have things in our lives. He wants to make us strong. So again, He does care. He does hear. And God is here. You have His word on it. Okay? So again, don't do the stinking thinking. Don't look at everything through faulty lenses. Make sure you understand the truth of the Scripture. Again, maybe the next thing and the most important, again, besides looking at the future of the sinner, and the foolishness of myself, look at the fullness of the Savior. Look at the fullness of the Savior. Go with me to verse 23. Again, I'm going to put down the presence of God in verse 23. Again, as we're thinking and we're getting our thinking right, in verse 23, Asaph says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast held me by my right hand. Can I tell you something? I don't think I can give you anything bigger, and I'll elaborate on it in just a little bit. But I can't give you anything bigger than the presence of God in your life. He's here, folks. If you ask me where Jesus is right now, when I was 9 years old, I literally said, Jesus, come into my heart. Can I tell you where Jesus is today? He's in my heart. Doesn't matter that I don't have $1 million. It doesn't matter that I don't have perfect health. Okay? It doesn't matter. I've got Jesus. I thought about asking a question. I know I'm going to break HIPAA laws. No, you will. How many of you have to take pills in the morning? Okay, look around at hands, folks. I do. Okay? I have a cardiologist that I have to see on a regular basis. Okay? I have to take a pill. Okay? I'd like to say I don't have to. But my cardiologist said, don't you ever stop taking that pill, because I don't want to see in the emergency ward that you just suffered a stroke. So he said, you keep taking that pill, because I don't want to hear you suffered a stroke. Okay? And so when people say, well, you know, what about health? Not many of us have perfect health, do we? Young people, if you've got perfect health, cherish it. By the time I'm ready to go, I'll pass my pill bottles on to you. Am I right about that? I'm right about that. About time Pastor goes, you're going to need the pill bottles, okay? But I got God. I've got Jesus. You see what I tell you, folks? Maybe we need to do a little shouting right now. We got Jesus. Wow, isn't that the best? So the presence of God, this is the best thing, okay? With the presence of God then, okay, come on there. Let's pull it down here. Push the next one up for me here. I'm having trouble. There we go. Comes the protection of God, verse 24. These are easy. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Folks, couple that back with the verses I read earlier. When life is over, I'm heading to glory. Where are the sinners headed? Hell. Folks, who should be envious now? Not me. Not me. I'm heading to glory. Again, God is going to hold my hand. He's going to take me. And when this life is over, I'm headed to glory. Again, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He is so close that he's holding my hand. Maybe I should say that besides just hold my hand, he's carrying me through. Again, he is protecting me, and I will head off to heaven. So he is protecting me. Let's just do this. Maybe the battery got problems. There we go. Again, notice the person of God. We just need to learn more about our great God. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Again, when we just start learning more about God, he loves us so much. He's not going to leave us. Again, he's not going to take away our salvation. Again, he is just a great God. And that God is close to me, protecting me every inch of the way. What else do I need? I don't need anything. And then finally, we get to verse 27 and 28. Again, the last part. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all those. And again, tough words there. I could go a whoring from thee, or they play the harlot and they depart from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And again, I'm just looking here. Let's look at a different perspective. And here's what we do sometimes. I do it. You do it. We look at life as being everything. We look at life as being everything. And we've got to realize there is sight beyond the grave. And it goes on for absolutely forever. That's the perspective. So again, the perspective I want to give you is a perspective of time. Stop limiting all our thinking to time. Start basically keeping our thinking with eternity in mind. Isn't there? I think there's a song like that. There's a chorus or something like that. But again, let's just start keeping eternity in mind. That's where it's all going to be. Okay? Okay. So we need to have a time perspective. I think we also need to know that, again, God is not limited by time when it comes to blessing us. Okay? And in this earth, we may not think we're being blessed as much as the next guy. We may think that. Okay? Though I've got Jesus. Okay? But you know what? God can bless us beyond the grave, absolutely abundantly. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for the love of him. You know, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And just before that, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Don't hit me with all that you think that means or whatever. If Jesus said there's mansions up there, there's got to be some pretty nice places up there. Okay? Got to be some pretty nice places. Again, that's the perspective that we're looking at here. So get our eyes off of it. We don't just need to look at time. We want to look all the way through. Again, I put up here, Asaph's problem with the goodness of God and the prosperity of the wicked is rooted in a defective definition of good and evil. Okay, I just want to make sure you understand this. And I'll have something on the screen in a minute. Again, over here, when we start thinking about good, we think about blessings. Well, we think about material things. We think about material things. You know, if God is good to me, then this is what I should have. This is what should be in my life. And this is what shouldn't be in my life. And we kind of base God's goodness all around prosperity and health and what are the other things, okay? Again, one of the problems I have with the health and wealth gospel that maybe you see preached on TV and different places like that is I don't think God's goodness is just all about health and wealth. It's not. Okay, I mean, I tell people, the story that Jesus tells in the book of Luke, chapter 16, is about the rich man and Lazarus. Folks, maybe we need to rename that thing. It's about a man and a rich beggar. Am I right about that? Because when they died, who was rich? Really rich. Wow, okay. So the problem is we just limit the goodness of God and think it's all about prosperity and health and everything going our way. And if things don't go our way, then I'm not being blessed, you know. And if evil's not in my life and everything's good, then I'm being blessed. And the other way around, if I see these things in my life, then I'm not being blessed. And I think we just need to come up with a different thing. Instead of saying, well, if you're rich, you're blessed. Okay, no, do you have Jesus in your life? And if you have Jesus in your life, it doesn't matter about all the other things, okay? By the way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What happens to all the other things? What's it say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? And all these things will be added. Maybe not in this lifetime, but they will be added, okay? They're definitely going to be added. And so, again, I think we just need to have an idea of prosperity and goodness versus evil and not being blessed. And just change your thinking. Okay? The rich man, he didn't have God. Literally, in the end, he had nothing. Luke chapter 12. Remember the man said, I've got to pull down my barns and build bigger barns, right? Okay? What did God call him in that parable? He said, you fool. You fool. Okay? He had prosperity, but he had nothing, which made him a fool. So we've got to make sure that when we start accounting and we start taking what's going on, reckoning what's going on, let's put God in the picture. And if you've got God, it's okay. Okay? It's okay. Here's something, and again, I hope you take it for what it's worth or whatever. When it comes to this world, are you with me? I really don't want to be here forever. Okay? There's a certain thing, there's a certain place, okay, where it's time to go. I want to go home, okay? Now, if you say to me, well, is it today? No. Okay? I'm ready if it's today, but it's not today. I don't want to go today. But if God sees fit for me to go, I'm ready to go. Okay? And I'm being honest. Now, don't you go out and say, well, Pastor doesn't want to go to heaven. Okay? Now I'm going there. But I'll tell you what. When life starts getting really hard, I want to go. Is everybody with me on that? I think my family's heard me say it. If I'm in the hospital and it's really, really bad, let me go. Let me go. Okay? I want to go. Now, that's, you know, don't go crying for me. I went, and I'll be okay. All right? And you'll all join me later. That's okay. All right? But there's a certain place where I want to go. And so I just come back to this thing, you know. The goodness is not just staying on this earth and living long and having everything you want. That's not what it's all about. When it's time to go, let me go. Because I'm going to heaven. And there it's going to be absolutely amazing. Just go down here. Again, at one time Asaph equated good with prosperity of the world. That's not what good is. Good is having Jesus in your life. And he associated evil with adversity. Well, things are bad in my life. No, they can be pretty rough, but I've got Jesus. I got Jesus. And I know some of you are going through some pretty rough times. You are. But you got Jesus. Okay? You've got Jesus. That's what you need. Now he understands good in terms of the presence of God. It's not dollars and cents and possessions. It's the presence of God. And if you have the presence of God in your life, okay, you know what? All the other things, they're just there. They're just things. Okay? So we have that. Do I have one more screen left on there? Okay, one more screen. I should be done with one more. Again, the ultimate good in life is not prosperity, nor the absence of pain, but the nearness of God. Folks, we're all going to go through the valley of shadow of death. It may hurt. It's probably going to hurt a little bit, is it not? But if God's there, it's going to be okay. And by the way, I am going through it. I'm not being let off in the middle. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I come out on the other side. Again, I like that verse, Hebrews 13:5. Folks, don't be envious of this world stuff. Again, don't let covetousness take over your life. That's what that verse is. Don't have a covetous conversation. Don't let envy of what this world offers take over your life. Because you should be content with what things you have. And I can hear somebody said, so what do I have? And I think the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't know who you think wrote it, but I think Paul answered back, what do you have? You got God. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. Father, I pray that you would help us to see and look through your heavenly perspective that if we have you, we don't need to be envious of this world and what it has to offer. Lord, we have you, that relationship. And Lord, you'll take us through the hard times. And Lord, in a few short years, when this world is all rolled up and gone, we'll be with you forever. It will be worth it to remain faithful. Thank you that you died on the cross for us. You've taken care of the biggest problem we could ever have, which was our sin. And Lord, you've buried it and thrown it away. And now we have you forever. Thank you so much. Help us to live victorious, even happy shouting lives sometimes, Lord, because we're so grateful for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.